Governor Ronald Reagan of California made what he later admitted was one of the biggest mistakes of his political life. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and today, my friends, we're going to be talking about we're going to be returning to one subject, and we're going to be dipping our beak into an entire new one, which I know is going to ruffle people's feathers, but we're here for it. Because we're here for the truth. We're going to be talking about why conservatives should not lord Ronald Reagan. Now, Ronald Reagan's a very interesting figure, and especially to the talking heads on the Republican side, whether it be your favorite talk show hosts that are out there now who talk about Ronald Reagan as if he was the, you know, second coming of Jesus Christ himself. But, you know, if all the lording and the butt kissery and everything, we need to dive deep into why I would make such a subject, why I would make a deal like this, and why I would say such a thing. Well, luckily for you, I have an article prepared about this subject because I'm going to tell you something that maybe you didn't know. Provide a little background to what we're about to get into with this article. For those of you who don't know, no-fault divorce is one of the worst things to have happened to this country. It basically took a holy thing, which was marriage, and now we have a divorce rate that's 60 to 70%. We have 80% of those divorces being filed by women, and the normal person who has not been exposed to this side of the internet for very long, they don't know why this is happening. Their first instinct is to blame men, say that the men must be doing all these wrong things. It's Jermaine's fault, right? Shout out to CGA. It's Jermaine's fault. It's your fault as a man, not the woman's fault, not the government's fault. It's always your fault as the man. You as the man are supposed to always just take the L and hold that L up there all the time. And you might be asking, well, what is the origin of no-fault divorce? Where did it come from? How did we get to where we currently are with these divorce rates being super high and the women being the ones who filed it? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Because the answer is very simple. And the answer is it happened back in 1969 in the good old state, in the good old golden state, with a certain man who used to be a famous actor, who now held political office, who was the first man to sign the first bill in the first state of the union that legalized no-fault divorce in good old California in 1969. Good old Ronald Reagan. Now, later on, he admitted that he made a mistake doing that. But you know what? It wasn't just a mistake. It was a catastrophe. Because from the end of the 1960s to the beginning of the 1980s, we saw the divorce rates double. Not decrease, double. Why would this happen? What is no-fault divorce? Well, we're going to hop into that. But when you look at us on this side of the internet, whether it be myself or other guys on the side of the internet, we have this beef with the divorce courts and a bone to pick with the politicians, especially, who pander to women by not having them give up their privileges in the name of equality, and instead what they want to do is tell you as a man that you're privileged, and meanwhile they have the power of the punani, and they get to keep all the power they had before while being able to dip their beak into the privileges of being a man at the same time. It's called cherry picking. It's called math. All you got to do is look at how they add over here and subtract over here. It's called math. But what we're going to do now is we're not going to talk about math, we're going to talk about divorce. So here's the article we're looking at today. And it's called The Evolution of Divorce by a Bradford Wilcox. Shout out to him or her, I assume it's a him. In 1969, Governor Ronald Reagan of California made what he later admitted was one of the biggest mistakes of his political life. Oh, well, I'm glad to see that he said it was a mistake, but guess what? That doesn't change the fact that he set precedents that would then, about 50 years later, be in every state of the union and have done irreconcilable damages to this country and to the Western world. Seeking to eliminate the strife and deception often associated with the legal regime of fault-based divorce, that was the system that was set in place. So in other words, back in the day, you had to actually prove that there was domestic violation happening. You couldn't just walk up to the courthouse and say, yeah, I'm not in love with my husband or my wife anymore, and I just want to leave, and I want to go out back to the streets, and I want to take the kids and blame him for everything. No, that didn't happen back in the day, because they couldn't. They wouldn't let you do it. But then, good old Ronald Reagan legalized this no-fault divorce. The new law eliminated the need for couples to fabricate spousal wrongdoings. They didn't even have to lie about it anymore. They literally could just walk up and say they wanted a divorce, in pursuit of a divorce. Instead, one likely reason for Reagan's decision to sign the bill was his first wife, Jane Wyman. So for those of you who don't know, Reagan was only one of two presidents that have served in the United States who have been in their more than one marriage, and that Trump is the other one. But no-fault divorce also gutted marriage of its legal power to bind a husband and wife, allowing one spouse to dissolve the marriage, statistically women, for any reason or for no reason at all. I love how they say a spouse when, statistically speaking, 80% of the time it's women who file for the divorce using this irreconcilable or no reason at all difference. It's called irreconcilable differences. That's what it's called. In the decade and a half that followed, virtually every state in the union, so in 15 years, almost every state in the union followed the lead of California and enacted these no-fault divorce laws, which we now see in every state in the United States of America. This legal transformation was one of the most visible changes of the divorce revolution that swept the United States. From 1960 to 1980, the divorce rate more than doubled. So I was wrong. It was higher, more than doubled, from 9% per one, so 9.2 divorces per 1,000 marriages to 22.6 divorces, so tripled. It tripled, and more than tripled. Actually, no, two and a half times, basically, what it was before. In 20 years, it basically 2.5x'd the divorce rate. Mm-hmm. Do you think all those men were abusers? No, I don't think so. That's not possible. This meant that while less than 20% of couples who married in 1950 ended up divorced, 50%, so it went from 20% in 1950 to 50% in 1970. And approximately half of children born to married parents in the 1970s saw their parents get divorced, as compared to 11% in the 50s. So it went from 11% in the 50s to 20 years later, bruh, went to 50%. 50%! And you still think that Ronald Reagan is this holy figure of the conservative movement? I thought conservatives stood for family and family values. Well, where are the family values in divorce court, huh? I'm waiting. Answer, they're nowhere to be found. So the darling of the conservative movement destroyed marriage in this country. Oh, that's something you probably didn't know about Reagan, was it? In the years since 1980, however, these trends have not continued on a straight upward path. That is false. It has gotten worse. When was this written? Oh, this was written in 2009. Oh yeah, sorry man. It gets worse. Trust me, it's gotten a lot worse. See, look at this. You didn't know this about Ronald Reagan, did you? That he was the one who broke the ice on the no-fault divorce laws in this country. The anti-institutional tenor of the age also meant that churches lost most of their moral authority to reinforce the marriage laws. In other words, the church now had no power. The church lost its power to say, no, we're not, because back in the day, you probably don't know this, back in the day, it was the church who was in charge of marriage. The state didn't get involved in marriage until they realized they could actually gain money from it. So that through the family court system, which is basically a Soprano-owned LLC. If you haven't seen The Sopranos, is basically run by the family court system would not look any different than it is right now if it was being run by Tony Soprano. If you think I'm lying, look it up. I'm not making this up. And people who have been through it, they'll tell you. It didn't help that many mainline Protestant, Catholic, and Jewish leaders were caught up in this. They were caught up in the divorce revolution. In other words, it says, okay, let's see this. It says the United Methodist Church, the largest mainstream Protestant denomination in America, had the following statement. It said, in marriages where partners are partners. You know where this term partner stems from? Probably don't, but I'll tell you. It stems from the Rainbow Rider community, the rainbow people. That's where this comes from. The people who I know who are not heterosexual, they use this language. That's where this comes from, by the way. But I'll read the statement anyway. In marriages where the partners are, even after thoughtful reconsideration and counsel, estranged beyond reconciliation, we recognize divorce and the right of divorced parents to remarry and express our concerns for the needs of the children of such unions. To this end, we encourage an active accepting and establishing a commitment of the church and our society to minister to the needs of divorced persons.
What?
What the hell did I just read? What a bunch of double talk. In other words, we allow it, but we don't want to, but we have to because the law says so. Oh, the psychological revolution. Oh, you mean the therapists, the rapists, and the mental health people cashing in on everything that you do as a man is apparently abusive. You say something wrong? Oh, that's emotional abuse. Oh, you yelled because you had a long day at work and she wouldn't listen to you after you said it 500 times? Oh, guess what? You're abusive now. The whole thing is a giant scam, brothers. I'm not telling you that Ronald Reagan was an evil man. I'm telling you he shouldn't be lauded. He's the one who opened the Pandora's box for this garbage. He was the test case. He signed the bill. It wasn't like he didn't sign the bill and then was overridden by the state legislature. No, he signed the bill. Look at this. It says, a successful happy home was one in which intimacy was an important good, but by no means the only one in view. A decent job, a well-maintained house, mutual spousal aid, child rearing, and shared religious faith were seen universally as the goods that marriage and family life were intended to advance. You see this? You see this? Guys, where are these found today? They're found in some pockets. They're not normal anymore. This was once normal. This was once what people could expect in their life. Now, you're lucky if you get half of what's on this list. Now you're lucky to even get half. The women want to talk about the bar being on the floor. You put it there. It says, but the psychological revolution's focus on the individual's fulfillment and personal growth changed all that. In other words, if you don't like something, then don't do it. In other words, oh, you have to sacrifice for something? Oh, no. That's sabotaging your individuality and your personal growth. You ever hear these therapist women get on TikTok or YouTube and they talk about how you need to get in touch with your feelings and your divine feminine and you need to embrace this and push that away and meditate this and manifest that. This is where this comes from. This whole complete bull crap of feminism mixed with the no-fault divorce family court mafia. This is where this all comes from. The 1970s marked the period when many Americans, a more institutional model of marriage, gave way to the soulmate model of marriage. Oh yeah, people didn't used to marry for love, people. You think that it's always married for love. No, people mainly got married because of their families. People got married because it was mutually beneficial. They got married for practical reasons and then learned to have some semblance of love between them. That's what they used to do. I know since you read Shakespeare, you think that love has always been at the forte of, at the front fortitude of everyone's minds throughout their entire lives, but this is factually incorrect. In fact, it's a very new invention. What was once romanticized, people now think they deserve by default because they breathe. And I'm here to tell you, you could spend your whole life looking for love. Look at all these old celebrity women who at the age of 40, 50, 60, whatever, they want to find the man of their dreams. And all of a sudden they can't find him and they're like, oh, where are all the good men? Answer, you left them behind when you were in your prime. You left them behind when you were at the peak of your fertility. They were there for you then. You treated them like garbage because you had options. Now they have options and they're treating you like garbage. So guess what? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I'm sorry to tell you, you lost. Now, that's not to say you can't find a man. Sure, you'll always be able to find a man. But most of the dudes you're going to find are going to be sharks. They're going to be out here pumping and dumping. They're going to be out here just spinning plates. They're not out here to commit to you. Because you had that opportunity. Every woman in their life has that opportunity. But the problem is they want commitment from Chad. They want commitment from Tyrone. They don't want commitment from you, Mr. Jerry, Mr. John Smith. They don't want commitment from you because you're boring. There's a saying that you can do anything to a woman but bore her. And a lot of men are very boring because we live very structured lives. And then so when you look at who's to blame for a lot of this, I've never heard anybody talk about Ronald Reagan and how he actually was the facilitator of this no-fault divorce culture, by the way. This no-fault divorce, this revolution of marriage and whatnot, this was his doing. He opened the floodgates for this. I don't care if he says that he regrets it. Well, guess what? That's like Pandora from Pandora's box saying, oh, I can't believe I opened it. I'm so sorry, guys. The damage is done. Your empty attempt at sympathy and apology means nothing to me. It's too dang late. You opened a box, you signed the bill, now look where we are. Look at where we are now. Look at the garbage that passes for relationships today. Look at the 304s who try to cross over back into being so-called honest women when they're done being trying to monkey branch from Chad to Chad. Look at the garbage that passes for entertainment. Look at the circus in the family court system. You wonder how this started? Well, look no farther than your good old friend Ronald Reagan, the godfather of the modern conservative movement. I don't know how, I've never heard a single conservative person point this out, but yet, I'll do it. I'm not saying he was an evil man. I'm not saying that everything he did was bad. I'm saying that there's an elephant in the room that I've heard nobody else address, but for some reason, I have to be the one to do it, and I will, and you're welcome. You don't believe me? Go ahead and do your own research. I welcome it. You don't have to take my word for anything we talked about today. But conservatives need to realize that Ronald Reagan is not this perfect George Washington figure that we would have been led to believe. He's not. In fact, he's the reason why a lot of men are going their own way today and we're not getting married, or passport bros are out here going to do their thing. There are reasons as to why this is happening, and he's Pandora in this story. He is Pandora. He opened the box, and look at where we are now. How different do you think the world would have been if he hadn't signed that bill? I'll let your imagination do that work, but in the meantime, my friends, I encourage you to do your own research. I'm not saying for you to hate Ronald Reagan or hate conservatives. I'm saying we need to hold each other accountable, and I think we need to call out everybody. And I'm sick of the Tradcons blaming men like me and men on this side of the internet for the problems when they lured people like Ronald Reagan unknowingly without realizing what he's actually done to harm the conservative movement in this country in general. My friends, we need to have a serious conversation about this. And you can have it in the comment section. You can have it on my X page at Sheep Get Sheared. You're welcome to do it. My friends, until next time, I look forward to having more conversations, and I hope you learned something. And we need to find a way to move forward and adapt to this new world we're living in. We can't use the same prescription for a new disease. I'm out. Peace.